got a little something for you again. Today we got a little different candy. We have some Kit Kat, some Hershey. School is out, so you could be up till 12 o'clock tonight. I wouldn't be at your house, so that's okay. So come on up. All the children are up, because some of you feel you're kind of all grown, you know. All right, here we go. Sin do not touch. What do you think? Should I touch it? Why? What's wrong with touching it? Sin do not touch. What do you think? Help me out. Come on, help me. I need help. Should I touch it or not?
No.
But it looks good. I mean, it's a nice seat. I'm tired. Can I touch it?
No.
Why? Sin do not touch. Nothing wrong with it. Sin do not touch. This feels good. Oh well. I'm stuck. Hey, young man, come. Oh man, I'm stuck on this chair. Don't even ask me why and how. Just come. Don't touch the chair. Come over here. Grab this hand. Wait, let me see your muscles. Oh, you're a strong guy. Okay. Now pull. You had no cereal this morning? Go get some help. What happened? You stuck on me? Hey, that's a strong looking guy. Even with his cell phone and everything else. Hey, young man, come. Hey. Slow down. Don't run me over. Go on that side. Don't even touch this guy. Grab right here. No, you pull this way. Wait. You try to break my hand off. Oh, you look strong, but man, you better get some help. What? You stuck too? Oh, Lord. Hey. Football? Michigan. Oh, you one of them guys from Michigan team? Oh, you're from Ohio State, right? Good. Wait. Stop right there. Stay right there. Michigan, sorry. Put on the ball. Don't touch this guy. Don't touch this one. Don't touch this chair. Just grab my leg. No, you pull this way. Pull. Wait. You guys are going to kill me, man. Sin do not touch. Hey, preacher. Here comes the man. You know, I was going to come to church last Sunday, but... Oh, man. Wait. But listen. Don't ask any question. And don't judge me. All right? Don't even look at the paper. Sin do not touch, right? And I touched it. Is there any hope for me? Repent. Let's try it. How do you do that? Pray. Well, let's pray. Amen. Whoa, it works. Prayer do work. Well, let's go sit down. Let's talk about this a little bit. Well, sin do not touch. I'm not too far away from you, folks. I want to come a little closer here. Now, what's the whole story about? There was a warning. Sin, do not touch. What did I do? I touched it. Mom says, lots of candy in the jar. Don't touch it. What do? You touched it. It's just an encouragement and a warning to you. You didn't touch it, right? Good. You're the good boy here. We're going to talk about you in tomorrow's message. Deal. Okay. I want to tell you, as you go through life, there'll be a lot of temptations. There's a lot of things that you would see that you know that God said you shouldn't do. And there are things He said you should do. And sometimes, because other people are doing it, you may want to do it. Sometimes it looks good. You know, in the Bible, way back when creation was, there was Adam and, was Adam and who God created? Adam? Eve, right, you're right. Adam and Eve. And God gave Adam a command. Do not touch the forbidden fruit. And Eve saw it was beautiful. It was good to the eyes. And she looked upon it and she wanted it. And she took it. And she gave it to Adam. And Adam ate of the fruit. And sin came into the world because of the lust of their eyes. Because it looks good. Not everything that looks good is good. There are times you would come through life. As young children, I want you to remember this. If God word says, don't do it, don't matter what other people tell you. If God word says, do it, don't matter what other people say. See, God is a God of mercy and grace, but he's also a God of judgment. He's a fair God. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about a good father. He's a good father. He had grace and mercy. He's our heavenly father. But yes, there must be discipline and obedience. So I want you to remember that in the story. All right, now the story is over now. It's time for candy time. So we're going to go way back from yesterday morning. Matter of fact, we go way back to last week. How many of you were here last week, Sunday? Okay, good. And Brother Harold preached a message on three parables. Do you remember what the three parables was about? One was the parable of, go ahead, young man on the back there. Two out of three, one more to go. Prodigal son. All right, come on up. Stick your hand in, take as much as you can, and Craig is going to take care of you tonight. Don't worry. So there were three of them, the lost sheep, the coin. How many sheep did the man have, the shepherd? How many sheep he had? How much? 100. And how many he lost?
One.
So if he lost one, it was 100. How many were left? Good. Come on, young man. You. Go ahead, man. You just help yourself, man. The nice big hand. Wait, listen. Wait. Now, if any drop when you're taking it out, you don't get any at all. So if any drop on the way out, we're watching you now. We're watching you. Any drop? Oh, that was good. You really held on. I used to have a big bottle jar with a small head. It was hard to bring it out, believe me. So he had 99, and he went after the one. Now, the question was, when the lady found the one coin, the man found the one sheep, what happened? What happened? They rejoiced. And they said what? They said it was lost is. All right, come on up. That's good. All right. Man, I got no candy. I got to go back again and get some more. Oh, man, you didn't get much this time, huh? That guy, he was tricky. All right. Now, yesterday morning, there were two sons in the story. Which son did I spoke about yesterday morning? There was two sons in the story. I spoke about one in the evening and one in the morning. Which one did I spoke about in the morning, yesterday morning? You was good, but that's wrong, sorry. But that's a good try. You know, yesterday they got me because I had up that Daniel sign, but today I asked my story a little different, my question a little different. Oh, I see a little hand back there. Huh? Luke, but which one of the sons I talked about? The younger one. All right, come on up. And you get to come on up too, young man. Yeah, you can come on up too. Whoa, that's a two-handed thing, man. I caught you just in time to see that. You're smart. You sit up front here, right? All right. So the whole, and then we talked about, there was a skit we had a play. And in the play, there were four people I want to talk about. One was the king and there were three young men. What was the king's name and what was the three young men's name? The young lady, you was quick, go ahead. Yeah, you. Go ahead. Uh-huh. You got it. Come and help her up here. You know what? Sit right there. Sit right there. I'll bring it to you. I'll be so nice. I'll bring it to you. And you take a nice big handful. Get your hand down in there. And if any drop, you could keep it too. Okay. All right. So remember the story. The story was about friends that would take you and make you do things or tell you they'll give you a second chance. But I told you there was something that the three young men says. I'll start and you finish the sentence. They said, King, do whatever you want. My God is able to protect me from the fire. But, finish the sentence. But, go ahead. But even if he does not, I would not bow. Come on up. Get it. It's not a. I would not bow. So sometimes they say they give you a second chance. But if it's disobedient to God, don't take the second chance. All right. That's the end for today. We're going to go in to the mercies of God. If you want to sit here, you can sit here. You want to go to the back, you go to the back. You make the choice. All right, we're going to have that song. If you had known me then, you'll believe me now. The mercies of God that carried me through. See, I thought I deserved to be 6 feet below. But His mercy and His grace kept me. I shared it with you from the first day. My mom would have come from an East Indian background. My dad would have come from an African background. They made some bad choices. I came into existence in the world. Grew up hearing that my mom had tried to kill me when I was 3 months old. A lot of anger, a lot of hate. And I was always with a void. There was always a void inside of me. There was always something missing. I thought it was the mother's love or a lack of a mother's love. I thought it was a father's love or the lack of a father's love. There was always something missing. There was always somewhere deep inside a yearning to be loved. See, the Bible says that God is love. The Bible says we are created in the image of God. We are created in His image. He is love. We all want to be loved. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big and bad and ugly you may be. But we all want to be loved. There's something inside of us. We want to be accepted. Want to be loved. Want to be cherished. That's why God says, I know the plans that I have for you. The plans that I have for you is not to hurt you. Not to destroy you. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved. For God so loved. Calvary Chapel. No. For God so loved the church. No? For God so loved the world. Those that are living in disobedience, in sin. The lost. The prodigal son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only son. Now, I have one iPad here, and if I had two, I might have gave you one. But I only have one. God had one son. And He allowed Him to be strung up on the cross. So that I could be saved. That I could sense His love someday. His grace and His mercy. Always wanting to be loved. Always wanted that void fill inside of me. So at an early age, I started off smoking newspaper. Couldn't afford cigarettes. It was like about 50 cents a pack or whatever it was. I couldn't afford it. So I started smoking newspaper. Then from there, went on to vines and then get involved in cigarettes. And that didn't help. went on to marijuana, and that didn't do much, and went on to drinking, started with beer and then strong liquor and trying to fill that void. Then into drugs, crack cocaine, and made some of the choices that today I regret making. Kind of like the prodigal son out in the world. But see, deep down inside, there was something inside of me that was yearning. There was something inside of me that needed to be filled. And in each one of us, there is something inside that needs to be filled. And drugs can't fill it. Alcohol can't fill it. Women can't fill it. Money can't fill it. Not even family could fill that. But I went through life looking to fill that void inside of me. You see, you may grow up in a two-family home, mom and dad, and you may still have that yearning. Some says, well, you know, my dad was a pastor, and my great-grandfather was the bishop. But you know, you never grandfathered into the Christian church home, into the getting saved. We all have to come to the place and know that we have a need for a Savior, knowing that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and repent and allow Jesus Christ to come in and fill that void, fill that hole. Because all the things and all the money and all the things of this world can't fill it. Well, when I was about 12 years old, I lived in a house. I was staying in a home where the lady of the home could not read nor write. But she was a believer. She was a Christian. So every day, she'd have me sit at the bed, the end of the bed, every night, I should say, and read some scripture that she would get from Oral Roberts' ministry. And I read the Bible every day, but just had knowledge, never with a heart to open up, because I didn't know Jesus Christ. I just read it like a book. So I knew a lot in the Bible. I knew, especially when I got married, I know wives submit to your own husband. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's not for me. That's for the believers, the Christian. I knew a lot. I read a lot of the stories. But it never got inside. And I went on in life. I told you how my mom died and it didn't move me at all. My dad died, and it was just another death. Got a job. I was making lots of money. I was living the life. And then one day, it was a rainy day, coming from work. I don't like umbrellas. I don't know for you, but I always lose them. So I don't like umbrellas. That day, I decided to take an umbrella. And coming from work, I had this umbrella, and the rain is falling. In Trinidad, the way it works is, if I'm going on, what's this road here? Centerville Road. If I'm going on Centerville Road, we all go on Centerville Road, a taxi would stop, I would jump in, you jump in, you know, we got off, next one jump, you know, it would just keep going and fill empty. That's the way it runs. It was no Uber, you call an Uber and you alone sit in the back seat. No, it was everybody kind of, five of you in a car that sits four, you know, and you kind of squeeze and you get to where you're going. So here I was, a rainy day, young man, and these young girls come from school, high school, and you know, young ladies all giggling and laughing, hey, and I thought, wow, one of them looks kind of nice, and maybe I should talk with them. So I said, ladies, do you want a shelter for my umbrella? Hey, they come in and get a shelter. And then something happened. Oh, something happened. Tomorrow we'll talk about what happens. I know you know what happened there, right? Maybe just threw up a hand like that. Oh, boy. Something happened. Let's get to the real story here now. I told you last night, if you have your Bible, open it up to Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to finish up now. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we got a surprise for you. Matter of fact, not even the pastors know yet. I didn't even run it by them, but tomorrow we may have a surprise group that's going to be singing tomorrow. It's a group that traveled with me in the prison. They've traveled all over the country. We went to Africa together. They were in Grenada for a long time. It's a young family that I came to enjoy and love. They call the Chaitans family. The mother would have been from Trinidad and the father would have been from Grenada. And the children were born in Canada. Now they live in America. And we talked to them today and they might be coming tomorrow. And if they do, there's a song I'd like them to sing about the alabaster box. I was going to play the video, but when I heard they were coming, I had them learn that song about a year ago. And it would melt your heart when they sing. Beautiful voices. God is really anointing them. So that's another thing you could look forward to tomorrow. It's not going to be live stream. You got to be here, okay? All right. Let's go here to the 15th chapter of the book of what again is it? Luke. Okay, so we talked about the prodigal son, the stay-at-home son, the older brother in the story stayed home, worked hard, did all the things. We talked about all that. Then we talked about he done everything his father expected it, walking in line with a very unforgiving, selfish heart. But tonight we want to talk about parenting God's way. Being that kind of father. Now, I may say some things tonight that may kind of rub you in the wrong way, but I'm not planning to do it that way. I'm just planning to share with you what I've learned from the Word of God. I was not taught how to be a parent by my dad, by my mom. I had to learn. As a matter of fact, in my story, I'll tell you, that might be tomorrow night or maybe the next night, how a family impacted my life after a tragedy in New York City that showed me what Christian parenting is like. I'll share with you more about that tomorrow night. No, I don't know if it's tomorrow. We'll see how it works. After something happened or before something happened. So my question, do you relate to the runaway son or the stay-at-home son? Talking about that last night. Which one do you relate to? Do you feel like you ran out into the world and you did your thing and you came back and God forgave you and now you're back? Do you feel like the older brother, you were at home, you had hate and anger and bitterness towards him coming back and being put in back into position? Which one do you relate to? The runaway child, if you're the prodigal son and you come back home, you're forgiven. There's joy, there's excitement, there is a big party put on for you. Parenting God's way. Last night I left you with the thought, would you have invited a dad who had one son, was a runaway kid, went out into the world, drank, smoked, did whatever, came home. Would you, the other son was, had a bad heart, and oh, he was, dad, no, you know, I'm not going into the house. Would you as a church invite that dad to be a speaker here today to talk about parenting? Or would you say, no, I need a perfect parent. I need a perfect dad, a perfect parent to come and tell us about parenting. How could this father be a good father and had sons that turned out to be bad sons? Is our Heavenly Father a bad father because we disobey Him? We have this in mind set in the church that good fathers produces good children and bad fathers produces bad children. Could a bad father or bad parents have bad children or children that turn out disobedient? What about Josiah? Remember the story of Josiah? Josiah's father was a bad man. His grandfather was the worst. His grandfather was the one that stopped people from praising God and built all these altars and all these idols. His grandfather. Then his father took over. And Josiah came and he tore them down and made a change. A bad father whose heart was far away from God Yet somehow this son turned out good. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Amon was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. From Amon sacrificed all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made. 2 Chronicles 33:21 tells us that the father and the grandfather were evil. And yet, it tells us in 2 Kings 22:2 that Josiah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not return, he did not turn to the right nor to the left, but kept his eyes on God. How is that possible? How is it possible Cain and Abel had two children? Oh, sorry. Adam and Eve had two children. Oh, man. You guys didn't catch me that, yeah? Oh. Yes, that's true. Adam and Eve had two children, two boys. One was, you know, Cain, a murderer. And one was Abel, wanted to serve God. How is that possible? We're going to unpack that in a little bit more. Josiah was a good king, yet his two sons were wicked kings. As a matter of fact, one son, while Josiah's father got killed in battle, he was killed, Josiah was killed, and now when he was killed, his youngest son was placed to be the king. And he only lasted 3 months, and he was so bad. The king from Egypt, they came and they got rid of him. And they put another brother who was worse again. Wait a minute. Didn't they learn? Solomon. Solomon has a whole thing on, my son, do this, my son, do this, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son. A lot of good advice. You mean he didn't do right when it comes to women and stuff, but he had a lot of good advice. In the Proverbs, a lot of good things. A lot of good advice Solomon had for his son. Yet, what did his son turn out to be? Our children will make their own choices. We want formula. We do this, and if you do this, it's guaranteed it will work. See, the proverb says, train up a child in the way they shall go, and when they're old enough, they'll not depart from it. That's a truth. That's a proverb. It's a principle. Doesn't mean that it always works. It's a principle from God's word. This is what you do. But we always look for formulas. You know, we live in a place where it's all formula. We do this, it's going to happen. It don't always happen that way. Look at my parents and the way God has brought me to. I don't know for my children. I thank God they're always serving the Lord. There are some choices they have made that I would have made differently. But they made their own choices. My wife homeschooled for 25 years. My children choose not to homeschool. Hey, you make your own choice. We're not saying that homeschool was the only school. That's a choice we made. That was a sacrifice we made. Because we felt that was what God was calling us to. So could you parent, or do parenting God's way and yet still have problems? He was a good, good father. He was such a good, good father in the story that his son came to him and says, Dada, give me my inheritance. And he did. We never hear him grumble or, well, take it, but I know you're going to come back begging. And when you come back begging on your knees, and he gave it to him. That's all he tells us in the story. Isn't that how our Heavenly Father do for us? We want to do something, and he tells us to know very clearly, but don't marry that girl. Well, yeah, but man, like Samson, she's the Delilah. And we be disobedient to God, and later on, yet his grace and mercy is still there. But he gives us things at times what, you know, we ask for it, we demand it. Israel had a good God and a judge. And he said, hey, you know, all the other nations, you know, they have kings. We want a king. And the judge, Samuel, says, man, they don't really like me. They don't want me. They want a king. And God says, no, it's not you. It's me. God gave them a king. Nice, handsome, looking man called Saul. And he did what was good in the sight of God. Until he came to the place where he was selfish ambition. God gave him a command what to do when he goes, and he captured him, and he did what he wanted to do. And then he tried to blame the people. But God gave them, they wanted a king, get a king. The father gave him the inheritance. What's very interesting, we've never seen the story where the father went looking and peeping to see what the son, let me see what he's doing now, what he's doing. Oh, I think he might come back. I pray that you notice something will really hit him hard, that he will turn back. We never hear anything like that. He was just waiting for that son to come home. Maybe praying for that son to come home. That's our Heavenly Father, picture of him. Yeah, you go out into the world. He don't like it. I told you yesterday the reason why we run into problem is not because God doesn't love us. It's because of our disobedience. I tell someone today, you know, it's like an umbrella, you know. God is like a protector. He has an umbrella here. And the storm is brewing. And if you sit under that umbrella, all is good. But if you move away from under that umbrella, then you start complaining that I'm getting wet. God didn't move the umbrella. The protection is still there. We moved away from under it. And the young man moved away from the protection of his father and went out. And the dad saw him coming one day. Dirty, smelly, stinky, like I was. And the dad ran. I mean, he even broke the law. I mean, you don't see an old man running. An old man walks with dignity and pride. I mean, he walks girded, and he just put his stuff up and started running. Got to the son and didn't say, hey, son, go take a bath and come back. I'll give you. No, he just hugged him. All stinky and smelly, just like I was, in drugs and alcohol and adultery. And he just hugged me. My Father in heaven just hugged me. Welcome home, son. You was blind. Now you can see. You were dead and now is alive again. And the father hugged him. There's no in the story the father said, well, hey, I know you're going to come back. And did you spend all the money? Do you have anything left? Now, when you come back, I want you to know you've got to work for me 20 years first before you can... No. Bring a robe. Give him back the royalty. He's no longer a slave. Give him the sandals to put on his feet. Put a ring on his hand of authority. That sigma ring that says you have the authority to put a stamp on and it's approved because I'm a part of this family. Our Father in heaven, just lavish on us his love. Whether we want to receive it or not, he lavishes us with his love. Now I know there's another side to the story. If we are disobedient, we would be like that son. That son had to pay hard. Could you imagine what it was like to come to the bottom of the pit and just be sitting with some hogs? I don't even like to pass close to a pig pen. People keep asking me why I don't eat meat. I don't even like the smell of a hog. You know, the first thing I stopped eating 40 something years ago was pork. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying. Because when I saw, and if you ever been to Haiti and see what the pigs look like and what they eat, I'm not trying to move you away from the good ham now. Christmas is coming, and the ham is getting fat now. Hey, I'm not telling you don't have, you know. But I tell you, I've seen some pigs in Haiti. And I see where they eat. I wouldn't tell you. My wife wouldn't be happy with me. But you know, this father was amazing. Our Father in heaven is even more than this father in this story. Bring out the music. Bring out the dancing. Let's celebrate. When I get to the part of my salvation, I'll tell you, the night when I got saved, I was shocked. Because I was here, you know, when one believer gets saved, there's rejoicing, music in heaven. I got saved that night and nothing. Not even a rain came. And I was like, something was wrong there. But it was rejoicing in heaven. I just didn't hear it or see it. One day I'll be a part of it. Could we be parenting God's way and yet our children go the wrong way? Could this father be parenting God's way and yet a son ran away, the other stayed at home with hard-heartedness? The first people children would blame is the parent. I've heard one child said to the parent, you should be paying for my therapy. God have mercy. If you know the sleepless nights sometimes we have as parent. If you know some of the things we have been through as parent. If we know some of the things that our parents been through as parent. The patience that we have with a child telling us the same story over and over. And then when we get old and we tell our child a story twice, they say, Dad, we heard that before. But when they were little children, they tell us the same story over and over, and every time we sang, go, ha, ha, ha. That was good. And then now we get old now, and we forget we told them the story yesterday, and we tell them again today. And they, Dad, could you come with something new? We heard that story before. Could we be parenting God's way? Child says, I'm damaged goods because of what you have done. And we get this blaming, and everything is blame and blame. And so we need counseling. We need counselors. We need therapy. We need. Don't get me started on that one, but I'll stop right here. We need. What you need is a full dose of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. You need to repent. It's all about I. It's all about me. Another problem I have, living in New York City, very good young folks come from Mennonite homes, were well taught. You know, I was amazed. The first time I went to a Mennonite gathering, you know, in a home, it was a long table. Dad was on one end. I was in the middle. And one son was on the other end. And Dad would speak to, and the son will answer. And I didn't hear what they say. See, because I got a big mouth, and my family, we all talk loud. We were just loud. And I was like, man, these Mennonite folks got good hearing aids or something. I don't know. Discipline. Well, and then they come to New York City. And these children in New York City grew up with one parent, half a parent, quarter parent. And then you got to let a child do what the child needs to do. Because you know what that child went through. That's not training a child. That's not discipline. That's not love. Telling a child to do whatever they want to is not love. God loves us. Yes, He disciplines us. God loves us, yet He disciplines us. He chastises us. I was in a clinic one time. Oh, I got scared. I forget we started half an hour late tonight. I was in a clinic one time, and this young man, I was just having fun. He was just run. And every time he run a certain distance, his mama says, James, let's say his name is James Johnson. James Johnson, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then he starts coming back. Then he started running again. James, Johnson, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And he starts coming back. James, Johnson, 1, 2. And then his numbers keep going up and up and up and up. When she got to 20, she slapped him. I said, wow, discipline, right? See, that's what the world wants. See, you can't tell the child. The child has a mind of his own. You know, you got to train up a child in the way they should go. The Bible is very, very, very good on discipline. See, discipline is not in anger. You don't discipline a child in anger. If you know you're angry, wait a while. Wait a while. And sit and talk. But if the rod has to come out, the rod has to come out. Hey, we traveled a lot all over the country. My daughters and would sing and play music, and we were here 20 something years ago in this church, and they sang and I preached, and we traveled for weeks and weeks all the way to California. And if we go to a place and my daughter or son is doing something that is wrong, I just look at them. There's a special look folks from the Caribbean have. If you're not from the Caribbean, you wouldn't know the look. Just look at you. Nobody has noticed the look. And they know, stop. Because there's some consequences for that when we come out of here. We don't have to Jack Johnson, James Johnson, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Because discipline begins at home. You don't discipline the church. It begins at home. That's parenting. So I might just get a little bit on the rough side tonight, but I had to learn that. My dad disciplined in anger. A hard father produces a hard-hearted son. And until I came to the place to understand the love, not the discipline of God, but the love of God, I was able to take the discipline that he has given to me. Because I know he loves me. And he disciplined me because he loves me. Blaming parents has become a new norm. Discipline. Respect. Honor. Sitting under authority. The world says, no, that's old fashioned. But I want to tell you something. If you don't discipline them, the prison will. I've traveled a lot in prison and sat with a lot of men and women in prison. And they tell you how discipline is in prison. They tell you when to wake up, when to sleep, what to eat, where to go. I mean, see a big man walking around scraping gum off the floor and a woman standing over him and just yelling at him that he needs to go back and take his little piece left. He wasn't disciplined at home. Now you can do all of that and the child can still go astray. Parenting God's way. See, I could tell you, my wife could tell you, we have done it, we believe, the way God called us to do it. If our children go a different direction, I don't feel guilty. I remember at first, I used to be a little guilty, you know. Well, I'm preaching this and my children is doing something a little different. But I know deep in my heart that I train them according to the words of God. Family devotion wasn't an option. It was every day we sat for family devotion. We have a song and we sing. Oh, Heavenly Father loves and disciplines us because he loves us. The world try to give us guilt trips when we discipline our children. You could be parenting God's way and touch the heart of God. And even your child would turn out contrary to the word of God. But stay the course. Don't stop parenting God's way. Don't stop loving them God's way. And don't stop disciplining them in love. Sometimes you do not have a word to say. And the Holy Spirit will cook in you what to say to them. Biblical parenting is not about you, but it's unto Jesus Christ. It's unto him. Are we raising our children God's way? Or are we the way of the world? mercy, and justice. I want to close with this here. My wife sent this to me this morning, and I wanted to share it with you. Alex Pete wrote, don't know exactly where she got it from, but I thought it was fitting to share. Alex Pete, I don't know who he is, but he wrote, I heard someone say a few days ago, see that? Just goes to show that you can raise your child in the church to follow God, and look what happened. He says, it shattered my heart all because his child had made a mistake. All because that child had sinned and brought, that sin was brought to light. Let me just tell you, we don't raise our kids in church so that they can grow up perfect and teach them the word of God. We do it because God commands us to do it. We do it, however, we raise our kids in church and in the ways of the Lord, so that when they mess up and when they fall short, they know who to turn to. So, they will know what grace and mercy and justice is like, and they'll be able to also give it out freely. So they will know the unconditional love of their father and the love those and love those around them just the same regardless of anything else. So that they will know there is absolutely nothing in this world they could do what our Savior blood hasn't already covered. He said, I will never apologize for raising my children in church and in the Lord. I will never apologize for making sure our family makes church and family devotion a priority. Because it's more than just a song and a sermon. It's more than just memorizing Bible verses in Sunday school. It's for when this cruel world we live in comes knocking on their door, they personally know the solid rock on which they stand. It's so that they will know there's nothing too dirty that God cannot clean up. Let's stand. Tonight, God may be speaking to you. A prodigal son ran away from God, came back, wasn't sure if he would forgive me. Tonight you could receive his forgiveness. You had that hard heart at home and rebellion was in you, and yet you stayed at home. You were selfish. You were envy and jealousy. Open your hearts up to God tonight. He's a forgiving Father. He's a good, good Father. You know, I was in the DR, the Dominican Republic, 3 o'clock one morning. I was preparing a message. And I was playing the song, You're a Good, Good Father. That's who you are. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. I'm loved by you. And I began weeping because my daughter had just went through chemotherapy, had a breast cancer. And I was thinking, could she sing that song, You're a Good, Good Father? And then I heard her sing it. And I even wept more. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. See, you don't always protect me from the fire, but you walk with me in the fire. That's the Father you are. You may not have had that father. I've heard people tell me how your father, how bad he was and hard he was and cruel he was. And then sometimes we judge our Heavenly Father like that. He's not like that. I had to come to the knowledge to know that he is not that kind of father. He's a father that loves you and forgives you. And his desire that you would not sin anymore. Because he says, your sin have separated you from me. Not my lack of love for you. So with all eyes closed and all head bows, I'm going to ask you to come up here. But if you want to just speak to God in your own place and receive whatever he wants to give you tonight, remember, he's a good, good father. You're here tonight and you're condemning yourself because maybe somewhere your children went astray. Though you did parent in God's way, don't feel and let the world put you on a guilt trip. If you have done it God's way, yes, we made mistakes as parents. We did make mistakes. We're not perfect parents. She didn't even see that, but don't walk around with a guilt and shame. Maybe your son has run away or your daughter has left. Maybe you have one at home that is rebellious. Maybe it's a wife, maybe it's a husband. I don't know what it is, but you're here tonight and you know. There's a smile on your face, but there's an ache in your heart. There's a God who could mend the brokenhearted, could heal the wounds. Just allow him to. He don't push himself on you. He's like that father in the story. He didn't run out. He don't want to run after you, but he's always waiting, dear. Just open your heart to him tonight. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise for the finished work on the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the story of the prodigal. We can learn from that. The older brother, we can learn from that. And then the Father, his love, his grace, his mercy. God, you are that kind of Father, and we thank you. There may be some here today, Lord God, whose heart is aching. Someone might have said something or done something and offended them. Hard to forgive. God, mend that heart. Give them the heart of forgiveness. Jealousy, anger, bitterness, whatever it is. Take it away, Lord God, and give them a new heart. Father, we give you thanks tonight for your message, for your word, for your spirit. We give you all the praise, all the glory. It's all about you. It's not about me. It's not even about this church. It's all about you. You be given the glory. You be given the honor. And we thank you tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. And God, people say amen. Amen. Before you sit down, I give you a chance while...